This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to catch the Cats at Ryan Field this fall. Northwestern hosts Illinois on November 24th for Senior Day. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. And Sage Rosenfels is brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service. He is on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. He writes for The Athletic Minnesota, and here he is with us on The Score. Sage, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. And thank you, Northwestern, for knocking off the Iowa Hawkeyes as an Iowa Stater. We always appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah, the vitriol runs deep there, doesn't it? We're going to talk with Clayton Thorson about 10:30 or so, but let's talk quarterbacking. Here at the pro level, Mitch had what many are calling his best game as a pro. I wonder if you have signed on with what he did against the Lions last Sunday.
Well, quarterbacks almost never have a perfect game. I think I remember, I think it was Rich Gannon or somebody at the end of his career saying, you know, I'm still in search of that perfect game, and he played very, very well. Did not play perfectly, but played very, very well, and obviously he has and is using all of his weapons and has a whole bunch of them. And was for the most part, very accurate in this game. Didn't make any of those bad decisions that seems like we've seen almost every week, you know, this year. It seems like he makes one or two bad plays a game. Didn't make those in this football game. And, yeah, he was, for the bad weather, that's a very good sign also for Bears fans. He throws the ball accurately in very bad weather, and that's a good sign.
I also was noticing more rhythm to his game in where what you described as the hitches in the reads, where his shoulders are positioned when his eyes are telling him where to go with the ball. It was noticeable. He wasn't patting the ball. He wasn't moving with his feet. The fact that he had a very clean pocket and the pass protection held up as well as it did for most of the game really allowed me to see what you had been talking about the timing and some of those hitches during which you're making your decisions.
Yeah, sometimes he does that. I mean, even on that Allen Robinson touchdown pass earlier in the game, I think it was about a 35, 36-yarder, he actually took three hitches on that throw. And I don't understand that. Again, I'm not in that quarterback room. I'm not sure what he's being taught or you know, what their timing is. But, you know, generally on a straight go route, and that's what it was, that the quarterback go, you take your steps, you take one hitch and you let it go. And obviously you look at your receiver, if you've got his man beat, you throw it deep. If the DB is playing upfield shoulder, a lot of times that's when you see that back shoulder throw. So he actually took three hitches on that play. Now Robinson got around the DB, you know, very, very quickly. He is a very good route runner and is great off the line. He got around his DB and had two or three steps on him. And then Trubisky was actually, again, a little late on that throw, allowed the DB to almost catch up and make the play. So, you know, for me, again, if a play like that, that is a rhythm throw. I would prefer that to be a little bit more on that first hitch rather than that third hitch, because a lot of times you don't always get a third hitch in the NFL.
You know, we saw Allen Robinson in that offense for the first time in a couple of weeks, Sage. I'm wondering what stood out most to you for him in that offense and for he and Mitch working together.
Well, I'll tell you what, all these receivers are good route runners, and they're all very quick, and Robinson's the biggest of them as far as I can tell. And he has an understanding of how defenses work and how leverage works, and you saw it on that late touchdown pass. It was what you probably call a slop route, which is a slant option route, and he ran the slant and he had the guy deep, but he had outside leverage on that play. So anytime you have, it's all a leverage game as far as a wide receiver is concerned. When you have outside leverage, don't just run inside. Then the DB will push you more inside. Actually work against his leverage, work outside more. That DB will keep that outside leverage pushed wider. Then that opens up more space on the inside. Mitch did a nice job of removing the linebacker, the middle linebacker on that play, looking to his left and then coming back to Robinson. It ended up being a catch and a touchdown. But the space that Robinson created on the initial stem of that route, that was key because it kept him away from that middle linebacker and also gave him, again, like more leverage space from the DB who has to stay outside because his help is inside, but Trubisky took care of that help with his eyes.
One thing the Fox broadcast did was talk about how verbose these play calls are. And it could be up to 18 words, sometimes 20, in a given play call, especially when they're doing some of that no-huddle stuff, when there have to be multiple plays called, you know, to what a play is going to be killed, etc. Question I have for you, because I remember talking to Rex Grossman about this years ago after the Bears played the Falcons in a really, really cold night game. He literally said he was, at times when it's cold, he had trouble moving his lips. Like, actually, it was actually difficult for him to get a play call in because his mouth was freezing. A, has that ever happened to you? Is that a valid concern as we get into the colder months with a verbose offense?
You know, I can't say it's a concern. It's interesting. It's actually not your lips. It's your cheeks. Your cheeks will actually freeze. And I had this conversation with Favre when I played with him in 2009 in Minnesota. We would talk about these really cold games. We play that great, I think it was a Sunday night game in Chicago, went into overtime, and the Bears won that one. But yeah, your cheeks actually freeze almost up close to your eyes, and it sort of makes your mouth hard to move sometimes. So yeah, that's you'll actually see sometimes, especially quarterbacks on the sidelines, take those hand warmers and actually put them on their face and on their cheeks to try to keep their, you know, their face loose. You're always keeping your hands warm. You got your feet. You're sitting on those seats that are heated and all those things, but your face sometimes is the thing that actually sort of freezes. And it's your cheeks, and that does happen. Is it a concern? I don't think it's a concern, but obviously for the quarterback, he has to be thinking about it in those cold games. And I said, the more concern is, can your quarterback throw in cold weather? And he definitely can. And that's a big issue. I struggle throwing in cold weather. Even a kid from Iowa State, it's not really where you're from. It's a lot of times it's how big your hands are and how strong your fingers are. I had pretty, big hands, but skinny fingers. You know, yeah, a guy like Aaron Rodgers has huge hands that helps to spin in that cold weather. It looks like from what I saw in the game the other day, Trubisky did not struggle throwing in that cold weather.
Talking quarterbacking and frozen fingers with Sage Rosenfels of The Athletic, who breaks down our quarterback here in Chicago on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm wondering, you know, they came out no huddle, Sage, and went quick. Then they got up the line of scrimmage and then looked back and kind of made their reads. How do you think they navigated that? We haven't seen a whole lot of no huddle from this offense. How do you think Mitch got through it?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was for the most part, they moved the ball in those no huddles, and I liked that. And not only was it no huddle, it was no huddle with some checks. I mean, they'd go no huddle, and then you'd see him actually audible or a kill, as you'd say, to the next play. So they're obviously have these packages that probably simplify, sort of the no huddle. We're going to go with this, and if it's, they're in a man-to-man coverage, we're going to go to this. And it's sort of automatic rather than having to, call those entirely to, two different plays in the huddle with this complex process. Sometimes you have these packages going to the game, and you don't really care what you call it. You can call it Old Brown Shoe if you want to. As long as everybody knows what Old Brown Shoe means, you can run those plays. And so I like the fact that they changed up their tempo a little bit. They're using their players, guys like Tariq Cohen. They're using him everywhere. Sometimes he's a running back. Sometimes he's a jet sweep guy. Sometimes he's a wide receiver. They have like basically two running backs in the game. He's basically a wide receiver, and teams are going nickel. When you do no huddle stuff and you move guys around, it can be very complex on the defense to speed it up. You have to have those guys make faster decisions, and sometimes they get lost in that no huddle. You saw him get lost on a corner route to Miller for a touchdown in that game. If you move fast and you have a multi-dimensional offense that the Bears have, man, I think that could be a really dangerous weapon for them that can really confuse the defense. You saw the Lions get confused a couple times in this game.
The audio mixes on the broadcast are bringing us a lot of these line calls much clearer than ever, and we're hearing Sunday, meaning on one. We're hearing the Jared Goff call out Halle Berry, and it goes back to Peyton Manning with Omaha. How much of it is window dressing, and how much does a coach want a lot of that stuff? Well, once you get past the mic point and setting the protection, what should we be listening for? What do you listen for as a fan and an observer from which you might divine any meaning from any of that?
That's a good question. It's all about these languages and how the languages have different audibles, and that is a sort of changing thing over the years. I mean, people will have an audible for a certain type of play early in the season. And then once you've used it, especially now that everyone knows, that everyone watches these TV copies of the game, they will change that audible to something different. And so it's hard to try to figure out exactly what teams are doing on the audibles, but sometimes it's window dressing. But for the most part, if you're, you know, walking around to the line and obviously using all the play clock and trying to communicate something, you're not going to do it for no reason. I do know Peyton Manning did a lot of it for window dressing, but to be honest with you, most guys, they're doing it for a reason. And again, the Halle Berry call, that's one of those things where, you know, rather than calling a super complex play, I feel like that was some sort of bootleg with a tight end sliding underneath and there's guys sort of going everywhere. That's hard to describe in an actual full play call. So just come up with the word Halle Berry for some reason, and obviously it, you know, worked out for the Rams. But that's what teams do sometimes. It's a code word that describes a whole bunch of things. You also see it in, you know, let's say a red zone situation where a team is going to bring an all-out blitz and you're in some sort of bunch formation. A lot of times teams don't have a full audible. They just have a word that anytime we're in a bunch formation and you see a blitz, we automatically check to a what they call bunch crunch. It's like a toss sweep play. You might just have a word for that, whether it's right or whether it's left. And so, yeah, there's a ton of code stuff in the NFL. I mean, quarterbacks and what we do, you know, with the Giants, it was New York was to the right and L.A. was to your left. And so, you know, L.A. with a protection and then some sort of pass pattern. There's a million things that you can do, and each team sort of comes up with their system. And that system even evolves. You know, you take a coach in from one team. I bet you Matt Nagy's system is not the same as it was in Kansas City, and I bet you it's not the same as it is in 2 or 3 or 4 years. Those words have to change because the more you audible against these, you know, same teams, they will they're smart. Defenders are smarter than you think. They will remember what those audibles are. They're watching the TV copies. All that stuff is available now. It didn't used to be, and, you know, people have to change their stuff so people aren't on top of what their audibles are.
Sage, good week to have you on the show this Tuesday and next. You cover the Vikings as close as anybody. That is the next matchup. How will this Vikings defense, which seems to have gotten things back together, how will they attack Mitch? You know, you've watched him grow and watch this Vikings defense as well. How do you figure they attack?
That's a good question. Yeah, I've watched the Vikings a lot this year. You know, where they have struggled, and they struggled earlier in the year, they were getting pushed around up front in the running game. And so teams are gaining in second and threes and second and fours. And that was the difference in last year. You know, Sheldon Richardson, the new D tackle for them, he's more of a pass rusher than one of those stout run blockers. And so they're getting pushed around a little bit. And then other teams, you know, they could run or they could pass. They could do whatever they wanted on second down. In the last couple of games, they have been much better against the run, holding teams to, you know, second eights and second and sevens, and that's created an advantageous spot for them defensively. Now, what concerns me about the Bears against the Vikings defense is the Bears have really fast, quick guys. That's their style of receivers, and you know, like Cohen and Gabriel and Miller, by the way, who is coming along. I mean, this kid's going to be a stud. I'm sure Bears fans are starting to love him, but those guys are smaller and fast and quick. Another Vikings opponent this year, the LA Rams, had three guys that were small, fast, and quick, and they decimated the Vikings defense and man-to-man coverage. You know, Xavier Rhodes is a very good DB, but he likes big physical play. Mm-hmm. Those small guys like Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods in LA, he could not get his hands on them, and they could run right past them. So I would be very concerned as the Vikings defensive coordinator and Mike Zimmer, the head coach, about, you know, they play a lot of man-to-man, but do you want to play man-to-man against this, you know, style of offense, because these receivers and backs are so quick.
The other thing that man-to-man does is that creates scrambling opportunities for Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, I think you end up with a double-edged sword there. Unless you have a spy on him, he's going to read names on jerseys and maybe grab 8, 9, 10, 14 yards a chunk.
Yeah, they have been playing more zone defense as of late, and that's been sort of a change-up for them over the past. What you'll see is, as Bears fans, you'll see a lot of this double-A gap blitz. They actually have two guys in the A-gap, and then you have Harrison Smith and another linebacker on the edges and sort of the D-gaps. And, you know, there's really eight guys up, and you don't know which guys are going to come. And they usually game plan really well for that and also still have guys trapping for what it would be your hot throw. And so you'll see plenty of that in this game. You're probably trying to confuse Trubisky a little bit, but I know that the Vikings are going to be really concerned about all these quick passes and trying to tackle. So my guess is that they're going to play more zone coverage, what we call a quarter half, which is sort of cover four on one side, and then, you know, cover two on the other side, or just, you know, just some sort of straight cover two and keep the ball in front of them. You know, make the Bears had a lot of big plays in that last game, and this year they make a lot of big plays. You know, my question is maybe Mike Zimmer will wonder if they can force Trubisky to have, you know, 13, 14 to 15 play drives, make him really earn it down the field, if he can do that without making some sort of mistake.
Sage, what has this season arc looked like from your perspective on Kirk Cousins?
Well, see, Kirk is an interesting, you know, guy because he puts up these stats that you look at, and I think he's like, you know, sixth in the NFL or something and stats or seventh as a quarterback. And but then if you ask a Vikings fan, you're like, well, he's played really well in some games and not so well in some mm-hmm. other games and, you know, sort of up and down. You know, what he does is his biggest flaw is that he takes a problem, you know, a left tackle misses a block or somebody runs a crappy route. He takes that problem and many times makes it worse. And that's an issue with a quarterback. You don't want to compound a problem with a bigger problem. And he does that. You know, he'll get pressure. He'll try to make a play and throw the ball somewhere and end up getting intercepted because he's got no juice on it, or he tries to step up in the pocket and rather than just securing the ball, and ends up being knocked out in the fumble and return for touchdown, which happened versus the Cardinals earlier this year. So he seems to compound a problem with another problem. If he can stay away from those, he has got a huge arm. He's extremely accurate. He's so good throwing to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. He's got great rapport with those guys. That is what his strength is. They don't have a complex offense. You will not see anything like what the Bears run on offense. It's much more traditional, much more quarterback under center, straight drop back pass, a little play action, some bootleg, but not, you know, they deal with a few wide receiver screens, but nothing like all the stuff that that the Bears are doing.
That is as complete a scouting report as you're going to get the Bears' next opponent, because this is right guy at the right time. Sage Rosenfels, we thank you as always.
Thanks,
and
Sage.
Look forward to talking after this game.
All right, guys, should be a great game. It's fun to have the Bears in contention here and in the lead in the NFC North, so it should be a fun game this weekend.
No question. We'll talk again on Tuesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.